Now let's go to Pastor Brian as he picks up where he left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the priority of love.
Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're continuing our verse-by-verse study through the book of Corinthians, and as we've come to chapter 13, specifically in verses 4 through 7, which describe the characteristics of love, we're looking at those real slowly because I think this is such an important portion of the Word of God. Because this is the portion that describes what true love is from God's viewpoint, and the type of love that really should be manifested in our own lives and in our own hearts. And in verses 4 through 7, as I've pointed out several times, there's 15 different words to describe what love is, and they're all verbs, they're words of action. So love, according to God, goes much beyond just a feeling or an intention or a thought or desire. It needs to be put into practice. Because if you truly love someone, then you'll do certain things for them to help them, and there'll be certain things that you won't do to them. And so you have both positive descriptions and negative descriptions here, 1 Corinthians 13 of love. We find ourselves in verse 6, and that's what we'll cover this morning, which says, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. So the thing that love does is that it values truth. It values the things of God. It values when God's cause is promoted and when sin is abounding or when the opposition to God is taking place. The person that truly loves does not rejoice in that. Or put it another way, when someone is involved in sin and maybe to their own destruction, you don't rejoice over that because they're being harmed by their own actions, but you suffer grief and you feel for them. You have compassion and pity upon them. I think in other ways that we rejoice in the truth is just over the laws that are placed within the lands. Doesn't that happen when you read the newspaper or hear on the radio some certain law that's passed that is just totally contrary to the Word of God? You don't rejoice in that. That's not love because you know it's going to bring harm and destruction to people's lives. In any form of sin that's being progressed, we certainly do not rejoice. We want the truth to go out. And even if that's going to cost us for standing up and proclaiming the truth, that's what we want to take place in our society, in our homes, in our families, and in our workplace. And there's a lot of ways that this type of love could be manifested, but for this morning I wanted to focus in on one particular way, because I think we could overlook it real easily as we go through this portion, and that is in our speech. In the way our speech, would we rejoice in the truth, but not rejoice in iniquity? And so we're going to look at some portions of Scripture elsewhere in the Bible as we're doing more of a topical study as we're looking at all these characteristics of love, looking at speech and how our speech should manifest the love of God towards one another. And the Bible has a lot to say about our words. There's a lot in Proverbs that we'll look at and then a few scriptures in the New Testament, but definitely our speech is extremely important. And this morning, actually, the Bible says for you, if you're not a Christian, that it says by your words you'll be justified or by your words you'll be condemned. That means all God has to do is say, well, let's replay everything that you ever said and let's see what's really coming out of your hearts. Because the Bible says that's what's coming out of the mouth is out of the abundance of the hearts the mouth speaks. And so all God has to do is analyze your words and look at them and say, you're obviously not a child of God because this is not the type of speech that a Christian would truly model and would truly come out of their hearts. And it's not a matter of works, it's just a matter of evidence. It's a matter of this is evidence that your heart's not truly right with God. It hasn't been converted. It hasn't been changed. Because if someone truly is under the lordship of Jesus Christ, it'll change the heart, which will eventually change the speech. And so if you're having trouble controlling your speech and controlling your words and the stuff that comes out is just vulgar and rude and crude, then you really need to examine some things this morning. I'm not your judge. God alone is. But here's a way for you to look at your own life and examine your own life to see if you're truly in the faith is the type of speech that comes out of your hearts. See, because anyone could be religious and play church and go to church, but what happens when you're alone, when you're in the workplace and no one else is around to hold you accountable? What are the things that are coming out of the mouth? Well, that's how you look at what's actually in the hearts. And by the Spirit of God, He'll give us the ability, not a perfection, but the ability to control the things that we say. And the love of God will be manifested in the way that we speak to one another and the things that come out, things that we say and the things that we do not say. So let's start in probably the the toughest portion of the Bible on the tongue, and that's James chapter 3. You know, anytime you go to the book of James, you just kind of go, oh, I'm in trouble there, because he really lays it into us and tells it like it is. So James chapter 3. It says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. So it says, if you don't stumble with your speech, then you've arrived at perfection. None of us have. We're going to try to move towards controlling all of our speech. But if you're able to control the tongue, if nothing ever comes out that is rude or vulgar or harsh or critical, then it says you've arrived at perfection. But again, none of us are there. We all have a lot of room to grow. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And so here the description is, just a little spark could cause an entire forest fire, and so could the little words that come out of our mouth. They could cause great damage or destruction upon people's lives. It says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. And he's not over-exaggerating here. He's saying actually that our words can, the source can, be hell itself if we're not careful. Isn't that what Jesus said to Peter when Peter said, no, you're not going to go to the cross? He didn't say, well, Peter, you're just not getting the program. He said, get behind me, Satan. And we actually have the potential with our speech to be speaking the things that are totally contrary to the kingdom of God and have their source in actually the demonic realm. Now, it doesn't mean that the devil takes over your tongue and you start saying things and you're out of control. No, you can't blame it on him. It's our own faults. And here he's saying you could control a ship, you know, just such a small rudder. You know, we need to be able to get this thing under control, because the potential destruction that it has could be from a demonic source, as well as just like a little spark could completely, you know, wipe out a forest with just starting with a small spark. And so that's why it's so serious that as we want to walk in love as a fellowship, that we don't leave out something this important as our speech. And the way we treat one another and the things that we say to one another, how we say it and what we do not say to each other. You know that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is so far from the truth. I don't know wherever that came from, but it didn't come from the Bible. We do